Hello, and welcome to the Yearly Comics Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting our favorite comics of the year. As with the Weekly Comic Spotlight, we'll be using DC, Marvel, and others as our main categories. We'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we may discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. The recording sessions for this year's Yearly Comic Spotlight went a little long. I think we spent about 7 hours over the course of 2 evenings on Skype recording this, James and I. So we've broken it into multiple parts, so let's join the conversation already in progress. All right, we ready to move on to our other category of the podcast?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay, now this category has a bunch of questions where I'm just trying to get some feedback of what you guys are liking, not liking, and stuff like that, so I can either course correct or just say, oh, well, I guess that didn't work out. And some of this is just indulgent on my behalf, like this first one of what's been your favorite back issue spotlight and why? Because we've done quite a few of them, more this year than, well, really ever, because we did 39 this year, did quite a few last year, I mean, past 100 of them, it's insane. And for me, I mean, I enjoy doing all of them for different reasons. Some of them it's just a fun conversation, some of them it's a great read, some of them it's both. I really enjoyed doing the Crisis on Infinite Earths issues. It had been a while since I'd reread those comics. I loved them. I think we had a great conversation on it. I also have really been enjoying, like, the New Teen Titans stuff Sam and I have been doing. The Shazam ones gave me an excuse to actually read those hardcovers that would have otherwise sat unread. So I've really been enjoying all of them.
Yeah. Actually, the one that I've enjoyed the most was, believe it or not, The Crisis on Infinite Earths. And it's because I read it once before on my own. Mm-hmm. And having none of that DC background, DC love, it was just like, okay, who's this? Who's this? What's going on? It made sense, but I didn't really know in depth what was going on. So you guys broadened my horizon with that. I was like, it made me enjoy the book a lot more. And then it was kind of cool, me, you, and Sam all together. That was fun, you know, interacting with each other. And then that's one of the few episodes where this is something that I enjoy. We got some people on the Slack channel who would ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
We got some listener questions from this because people enjoy this. And sometimes I wish more people would ask us questions about things in the podcast. Every now and then we get one, but it always makes me feel good when people are listening and are engaged versus just speaking into the void, you know?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm still thinking about doing a Crisis Q&A episode. Jason Zeller sent some really good questions on it that to really properly answer, I might need to do a little research just to refresh my memory and such. But honestly, I was hoping for a little more feedback because I'd love to do that kind of episode, but for more than just, you know, one person's questions.
Yeah.
So, again, that's part of why I've got this whole series of questions, is trying to, you know, again, solicit some feedback.
Yeah, it makes it fun. Even sometimes when people put comments on the podcast sub-channel in the Slack, it's kind of cool to see, hey, they're listening. Oh, they have a question. Wow. I like that. Please continue to do so.
There have been times in the past, less so now, but at certain points where it's like, is anyone even listening to these?
You know? Yeah, we do 10 or 15 episodes and you don't hear a word, not a peep.
Yeah. Well, and some of it is, oh yeah, long time listener, I love the stuff. It's like, yeah, well, say so once in a while. It kind of helps.
Definitely.
All right, so the listener picks. Nick's picks, he went with the Shazam, the World's Mightiest Mortal hardcovers. He's loved what he's read of the Shazam Captain Marvel material. Seems like y'all generally enjoyed the series as well. The stories don't think too highly of themselves, and these episodes are usually pretty lighthearted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of had to be because some of the stuff is kind of whimsical.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm looking forward to at some point going with Sam and doing that third volume because that's where it goes into the stuff from World's Finest comics where it was just a regular, like, I don't know, 8-page backup or not backup, but the title was an anthology book at the time. And I think I'm expecting, not having really read these, that it may be a much more Bronze Age era of the story than the more almost Golden Age feel that the stuff has had.
Very cool.
I'm curious if it kind of turns that corner or not, but that's on the list to do at some point.
Very cool.
Drew, his favorite back issue spotlight was Resident Alien. K reviewing a comic, he had to tune in.
Didn't I review that comic?
Yeah, James, you did the back issue spotlight on the Resident Alien comic.
I, I was sitting there scratching my head. I'm like, she did the TV show.
She did the TV show. You are correct.
Ah, that's what it was, because I remember I listened to the TV show thing, and I loved it because it was comedy, and then we did the comic, and I was like, this is nothing like the TV show.
I guess Drew still needs to tune into those episodes.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of episodes, so that's not a problem. I saw that, and it's okay, that one's funny. I got to comment on that.
Yeah, that is kind of funny.
X-Men Patrick Orville, he's enjoyed the ones we've done on that. Those have been fun.
Hey, good comics, too. I love that.
Dr. Mo has been enjoying the new Teen Titans coverage. Huge fan of the first volume.
Cool.
It is classic stuff, and I'm really enjoying it. Nicholas J., Secret Wars. Very long time since I read it. One of the earlier comics he read.
Yeah.
That was a ton of fun to do, too.
Definitely.
Vermont Omnibro, all of them, but love the 1970s to 1995 shows.
Ah, cool.
And those are ones I tend to do more with Sam and such. And again, right now we're going to be doing some of the Amazing Spider-Man, the original Clone Saga stuff. So hitting some of that earlier material.
Yeah, definitely. He'll love that stuff.
Comic Freak enjoyed the Crisis episodes. Chris Myers went with, I actually gave the episode number. Awesome. Number 92, Project Pegasus, because I love the thing.
Ah, very cool.
Glad he enjoyed that. Sam went with the Shazam episodes because this was great material he never would have read if not for the episode.
Cool.
Awesome. Good win on that. And then GL Zach went for Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Cool. Crisis probably had the most picks, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'll have to at some point go check to see if it had downloads to kind of match. But also, again, the Shazam stuff did well, so okay.
Yeah.
People are enjoying it. That's good.
They like your back issues. Cool. All right. That brings us to our next category on the podcast. Suggestions for future back issue spotlights. Breaking suggestions of larger things down into smaller chunks would be helpful.
Okay, I want to pause right there.
Okay.
There have been times people have said, yeah, you should go do the Girls series Sword by the Luna Brothers. That's like 24 issues.
You're like, no.
My brain can't contain that much story to talk about coherently. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a bit much. It really is a bit much.
But I'm looking forward to this because I want to hear all the suggestions.
Okay. For me, I mean, we've kind of talked about stuff we wanted to review. So, like, you know, I think one day we're going to do the Astro City stuff. I think that'll be good. And we're just going to have to do, like, an issue to three issue, something like that. An issue of two or three or whatever. And they could be just random because if you go into all of them, almost each one's a different story. It might be too much material. And then we've taken notes on things we want to do. I Grayson we want to do. JSA, Jeff Johns, Stray Dogs, Fraction, Aha, Hawkeye, because you and your sister Kay did the TV show.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have a whole list, so I just kind of looked at my list. I'm like, I could talk about all this stuff, but you kind of know where I'm going.
Well, and I do have a list of various topics for back issue spotlights, who's mentioned being interested in them and such. And there are times where it's like somebody says, oh, yeah, we got to do this. Like, boom, I'll put it on the list. Sometimes I forget, but I try to put it on the list. Other times I'm thinking about it. Like, as I'm editing an episode, oh, yeah, that came up. That we should talk about. And I'll add that and stuff. The one I absolutely want to do, and I'm still trying to figure out the specifics on the plan around this, is Astro City.
Yeah.
Starting from the beginning all the way through the 100 issues or whatever. And not to kind of race through it, but to... You know, really, it's one of my favorite series. I think there's so many great aspects of it. And it's not for everybody, I get that. But the homages to, you know, the Marvel and DC canon, where Busiek went his own way, where he's pulling on some stuff, and kind of what inspired the various characters, I think would be fun to talk about. And I know you're interested in it. I'm pretty sure Eric's interested in it. I think TJ's interested in it. And I floated this idea on the recent preview spotlight, because there was the new one-shot in there and such.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe doing it as a slightly different format where instead of trying to coordinate a bunch of people's schedules, I'd maybe do, okay, here, you know, issue one is, you know, the Samaritan, he's going flying, or, you know, a thumbnail of this is what the issue's about at a really cursory level. Play clips from the various people who've sent in, here's what I thought of it, here's what I loved about it and such, and then I'd kind of come in and round it out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, and it's easier to coordinate.
Definitely easier to coordinate and stuff. If somebody wants to go read, you know, six issues and wait a little bit to do the rest, or they want to go plow through 20 or whatever, I can stockpile the stuff and do it. That's what I'm leaning towards. I want people's feedback if they like that idea or not, because it'd be a different sort of episode than if we're all on at the same time having an actual conversation.
I think it'd be cool. Something to try. Until we do it, I don't know how it'll work. But I think it'd be fun.
And maybe we try that out on something else before going into Astro City. I don't know.
Yeah, like a little, we'll use some title as a guinea pig.
Exactly, a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, hey, do it on the Astro City one-shot that's coming out.
Could be.
Yeah, and then you go right into the meat and potatoes of the old stuff.
Interesting, something to think about, yeah. I just don't know how much of that's going to play on its backstory or something. We'll have to think about it. Again, give me some feedback on this from everybody.
Cool. And so that makes sense. Now, I'm going to go over the listeners' picks, what they want. And stop me if there's anything you want to talk about in depth.
Yeah, okay. Pause a little after each one, because I may want to have some words.
Okay, Nick's picks, and this is a good pick. The George Perez Wonder Woman series might be a good series to sample a volume or two of. I agree.
Absolutely, and I think the first volume or two are probably the best ones, because you really set up, you know, relayed the groundwork for the character.
Yeah, I think that could be fun. I would be completely down for doing that.
I will admit I have a leaning towards doing a fair amount of George Perez work over the course of this year for the unfortunate reasons.
Yeah, very true.
I mean, I love his work. And again, this was some of his early writing and such. His art's beautiful. Definitely, I think the first two volumes are ones we gotta think about there.
Cool. Now, Drew, he picked Walking Dead 1 through 6, which, yeah, that's very concise. You had the original artist on there for the first six issues. I'd be completely on board for doing that.
That's a good pick. I'm trying to think if the first trade was five issues or six, but whatever the first trade is makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would be a fun one. And everyone knows The Walking Dead, so looking at it's a different perspective than not everyone knows, not the George Perez's Wonder Woman, but almost everybody knows Walking Dead from TV.
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
I never made it past the pilot. I can read the comic. I can't watch the show.
Oh, interesting. Even though the comic's a little gory, too.
Yeah, but it's drawn.
Different gory.
Yeah, it's different gory.
Yeah, I can understand that.
The All other right. thing that would be interesting to do with that one in particular would be to also have a little bit of a discussion on how the original series works versus the deluxe version.
Oh, okay, cool. I could do that, too. That'd be fun.
That might actually... I'm wondering if that's the same discussion or a second discussion.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to think about that. But definitely, we gotta cover that one.
Almost a two-parter, yeah. Now, X-Men Patrick went with some classics like World War Hulk or Civil War. And believe it or not, X-Men Patrick, I had mentioned Civil War to John, but World War Hulk, I love that too.
I think both are good picks. I'm trying to think how long Civil War was.
The main series, I don't think was that bad. I think it was like seven issues.
I was thinking seven.
I could be wrong, but I think that sounds right. But there were so many side books, we could not do that material. But the main book, we could do.
Let's add that to the list. And okay, I'm going to look for you after this to help me, you know, collate some notes on this.
All right, yeah, because there's lots of stuff. Good stuff, too.
These are great picks. This is, again, why I ask.
I'm adding Walking Dead and Deluxe. I'm putting... I hope you guys can't hear typing in the background. I don't think you can.
I can edit that out if I need to.
World War Hulk. Did you want me to add that to the list?
I think that and Civil War.
All right, I'm adding that too. And I love that. That was Greg Pak. I remember that. Okay, Dr. Mo, Justice Society of America, which we had talked about doing the Geoff Johns JSA.
I think it's a question of which specific issues of this.
Yeah, because the whole thing is way, way, way too large. So if you can let us know, Dr. Mo, if you think like the first trade or where you think we should pick it up and do it. Maybe trade one.
Yeah, I think maybe starting there, and I'm willing to go back for more. That's another one I wouldn't mind kind of doing over time, because it was a great... The JSA series was great.
Yep. And then he agrees Astro City, so we've already had that on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interesting one, he says Spider-Man 2099, so that's going back to 1999, and I think that was Peter David, wasn't it?
It was Peter David, yes.
Yeah, so I read that back in 1999. I don't remember a ton, but I'd be completely on board for reading that. Get some nostalgia going.
Yeah, Sam might be interested in that too. I'm not sure, but yeah, we'll have to think about that one, and I think doing the first arc or something could be good.
All right, you want me to add it to the list?
Yeah.
All right, I'm getting it. Spider-Man.
When we add them to the list, these are not binding commitments, just so everyone knows that. These are things we will pick from as the mood strikes us as we're picking stuff. But
this is not a contract.
Yeah, exactly. But this is great suggestions.
They really are. And then this one you're going to love, Byrne on Fantastic Four. Now, Byrne had a an omnibus worth of material, so you'd have to tell me what part of Burn you would like to do.
Mm-hmm. But well, Burn, I think Sam and I already do a little of this, which is why it's more.
I think you guys did a chunk.
I think so too. I'm trying to remember.
My mind is
where I'm having problems. We've done over 100 of these things, and it's hard for me to keep track of them all.
Yeah, like Alpha Flight. I know you did that.
We did two volumes of Alpha Flight.
I think we did Fantastic Four, but my mind is mush.
232 to 236. And that may be one that we just go back to and kind of Sam and I pick up from there.
So he enjoyed it, so he wants more of it. Huh, that's good to know.
Great to know.
All right, Vermont Omnibro. He's going to give us some interesting stuff. I like this. So 1907 to 1995, I'm all in with Big Two or some independent stuff. And he broke it down. Black Hammer, that's newer. And I know you aren't a fan of it when it came out, but if you wanted to, we could definitely do that.
I might be able to be talked into doing like the Quantum Age, which is their Legion type thing, maybe. But I didn't enjoy the original stuff particularly, and I don't want to do something if I think I'm just going to slam it, because what's the point? But if somebody could find the right Black Hammer material for me, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Okay. Now, The Goon, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I have The Goon in all those library editions. I have tons of Goon.
Do you think that's something I would particularly enjoy?
My gut tells me no, you would not like it. Yeah, a big guy, they beat up ghouls and goblins, and it's different. It's like dark humor.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's really your wheelhouse.
We may do a little research on it and decide if we want to do that at some point.
Now, this one I agree with, Brubaker and Phillips stuff. And I know we've done some stuff, you and I, a long time ago. I'm pretty sure. It might have been like, gosh, I honestly can't remember. For some reason, I think we did something with Brubaker and Phillips. It might have been when we were doing the single issues in the Weekly Comic Spotlight. We did one of the issues from one of his books.
It might have been.
Because I know we've done stuff, but I don't remember what it was called, but I know what it was in my head, where there's a guy who's dressed in red, and he saw the demon photos and the paintings from his dad, but we did something. But
okay.
I can't remember what the title was called. But I'll put Brubaker and Phillips if you would like to do one.
If you can drill down to specifics, we can talk about the specific picks, maybe.
Okay. All right. And then the next one he put is Valiant stuff. That is pretty broad, because there's a lot of Valiant. I would say,
There's a couple of different eras of Valiant that are pretty different.
So I'm assuming he means the older one, but yeah, I guess...
If he's falling into the 1970 to 1995 range, it would almost be the original Valiant stuff around 1992. And there was some great stuff there.
Yeah. And who's the big hero? I can't remember his name. The guy with the...
Solar, there's Magnus, there was Turok, there's Exo Manowar.
Exo Manowar, that's like the flagship guy. Yeah, but I used to like Turok a lot.
Now, what would be interesting to do, although it would be a different kind of an episode, would be to pick, and I don't know if this would work or not, I was going to say pick the first issue of like the original Valiant Solar, the next iteration of Valiant Solar, the current iteration of Valiant Solar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just compare how they treated the character over time. Because like Ninjak changed pretty radically in the different incarnations of Valiant.
Very much so. He even got turned into Ninja K. I remember there's a different letters of the...
Yeah.
That
version's almost a James Bond version versus the video game version from the 2000s.
Yep. So, yeah, interesting. Now, he also put something on here, which I had heard you mention, but it's like way, way, way very broad. It almost had to be A-trade, is Fables.
Fables, I think Sam and I have maybe talked about that. Not to say you couldn't get in on it too and stuff. I think starting with the first volume and not... I mean, that's one where it's, okay, what did you think of it? And talk about the experience versus the specifics of the story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean.
Because, I mean, for me, the goal on that would be to get people enticed to reading it. Because, I mean, that thing had a great through line for the entire 150-issue run.
No, it really did.
150-plus, because I think you got to count that 50... Or 150 is definitely a plus issue since it was a trade in and of itself.
Yeah, it's like a 160-page trade paperback.
Crazy.
Issue 150.
Yeah, Fables is good stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And then get back on to the Astro City. So Astro City, that's a very popular pick. Now, Comic Freak from over in Amsterdam, he said, Astro City, as it seems, that Image will be publishing new stories.
I think the other thing with an Astro City series of episodes, do people have questions or comments that they kind of want to chime in too?
Yeah, that would be key.
Because I think that would be some fun stuff.
I agree.
If we could basically, you know, hey, you've got questions on these issues, as we get to them, we'll try to address them and stuff and do it that way. We need to figure out the format of doing Astro City kind of properly.
Yeah, it's a huge amount of material, and you don't want to butcher it. You want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Chris Myers, I like this. He broke it down very specifically. Chris said Fables number 1-5.
Very doable.
Reckless, any volume. By the way, Reckless is Brubaker and Phillips.
Okay.
So they're just soliciting right now in the current previews that we're submitting our orders, the fourth Reckless book right now. So there's three that are out.
And what's the premise?
I have them. I have not read them.
Fair
enough.
They're
in my stack to read, so this would give me a reason to break out a hardcover that I have already purchased.
All right, so I'd need to do a little research to see if it's something I'd be into or not, but definitely we'll think about that one.
Yeah, and I figure it's got to be crime-type stuff with Brubaker and Phillips, so it's got to be good. Now, he also said Wonder Woman Dead Earth, number 1-6. I am completely on board to do that. I like it. It's the art, Daniel Warren Johnson. You'll have to get used to it, and it's kind of like an arena setting, some fighting going on, just FYI.
All right, I'll have to think about that one.
Okay, check it out, see if it's something you'd want to do.
Yeah, because sometimes when the art's out of whack and stuff, it's really hard for me to get into the story.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean, and I was there for the first issue. I was like, man, this looks horrible, but I like the story. And then by the second issue, I was like, okay. And the third, I just got used to it.
Yeah, and it may be I just need to read the first issue and make a decision based on that or something, yeah.
Yeah. Now, he put Tomorrow 1-5. Do you know Tomorrow?
I do not.
I don't know what Tomorrow is. Not Tomorrow's the magazine, but just Tomorrow.
There was Dr. Tomorrow, but I don't even know what publisher would have done something called just Tomorrow 1-5.
All right, Chris, hit us up on the Slack. I'm hoping you are listening this long because we are like 5 hours into this recording.
I'll break this into multiple chunks. We may be, you know, 3 hours into this part. No, I'll probably smaller chunks and a lot more of them.
The whole thing was over 5 hours, though.
It's the yearly comic spotlight. It lasts all year. No.
Yeah. So we got to find out what this Tomorrow is. Okay, then Batman the Detective. That's where he went to London, 1-6. Mm. So, cool.
I could be talked into that, maybe, yeah.
All right. Now, Viking Joker has Batman Nightfall, which makes me laugh. This is my other persona, and I have three big trade paperbacks over here, sitting here, like 600 pages on Batman Nightfall. I read the whole thing just recently.
I'll be honest, this is one of them, this is the sort of thing where I put, hey, break it down into smaller chunks. I mean, this is not a bad pick necessarily, but it's not a pick either.
Yeah, because Batman Nightfall, I just read 1,800 pages of that material.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff. And I would say the Nightfall itself, the first big book, is the best where the breaking happens. The others, like, you know, like, who's that guy? The religious guy who comes in? Azrael. Yeah, it takes over. And then it's him coming back and fighting Azrael. So it's like a whole big drawn-out thing.
Yeah. Well, that went on for forever and a day. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big book. All right. And then GL Zach. More Green Lantern stories. Blackest Night, which we have talked about Blackest Night, John.
We have talked about that. I am actually considering if we want to do that probably with Sam as either back issue spotlight like 125 and 126 or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or 150, 151. Do that. That's the kind of story that I think makes sense to do for one of those, you know, anniversary episodes, sort of. Not that it's an anniversary episode, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. And he also said the Sinestro Corps War is, that's from Geoff Johns too, right?
That's, yeah, and I'm trying to think if that was one of the, that was one of the things I think that set up the Blackest Night stuff, if I recall.
I'm on board to read either or both of those, so you just let me know, I'll add it to the potential list.
I know Sam's interested in doing Blackest Night as well. That was a 8-issue series, so we'd probably break that into 2 4-issue chunks. I'd have to dig around and see what issues Sinestro Corps War, you know, how many issues were there and what issues were they?
Yeah, I have Omnibuy on all these things, and yeah, it's a lot of material.
I'm game for doing it. It's a question of how do we break it into digestible chunks?
Yeah.
So, great suggestions.
Yeah, I'll leave that up to you. You're the expert on breaking it up. But that's all the picks, and they were really good. I took a lot of notes during this part.
Well, and I'm open to listener suggestions of how to do this kind of stuff, because I'm not looking for reading, you know, 10 to 12 issues for an episode and stuff. I just, there are times I just don't have that.
Yeah, sometimes doing 3 or 4 is really nice.
Yeah. Okay, the next question is, how do you participate in the comic book page community, Slack, forum, preview spotlight, book club, some other way? Because again, I'm curious how, you know, you guys get in and get involved. Now, for me, I participate on Slack, the forum, the preview spotlight, the whole producing the episode, you know, podcast kind of a thing. I haven't done the book club yet. I plan to participate in at least one this year, but some of that is just a time commitment kind of a thing, both the actual attending and the reading ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, I contribute. I'm always on the Slack. Every day, I think I'm on the Slack. I'm either reading or posting something on the Slack every day. I feel like that's become more dynamic versus the forums. I go there to, like, submit my previews, yearly spotlight clips, or whatever I'm, you know, doing on there. But I do most of my everyday just typing and stuff on the Slack channel. Beyond that, I am part of the, I record with you every other week.
Mm-hmm, which I appreciate.
And then I am part of the book club. So there's a real hardcore of the book club. It's Vermont Omnibro, Viking Joker, Fudge usually there. We get Andy Tom a lot of times. We get Eric from Cowabunga sometimes. We get Brawlinator, who's usually there. X-Men Patrick can come sometimes. There's other people who show up from time to time. And my apologies if I'm leaving anyone out. But we've done some good things. We've done Why the Last Man. We've done Peter David's Hulk. We got through an omnibus and a half before we burned out on that. We did Monsters, which was Barry Windsor Smith. And now we're looking at doing JSA Avengers with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's been fun, and that's my little shout out to the book club. It's kind of cool because we do a Zoom meeting, and you can actually see the people that you've been posting with, and I feel like I know these guys. Even if I don't agree with every single thing they say, I consider these people my friends now because I've been seeing them face to face for like the past year and a half.
Cool.
Yeah, when I say face to face, online.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Now, just for some clarification, Slack is a better venue for kind of the in-the-moment casual discussions.
Yes.
The forum, it's really a better place for something that's, I don't want to say more archivable or whatever, but it's easy for me to find the preview spotlight there versus if we'd done that in some thread that just scrolls off and stuff.
Yeah, because the Slack thing should disappear eventually.
Yeah, we do not have a complete history on Slack. We've got the free account there. We have the full history going back, what, 15 years maybe? I forget how long, on the forum and such.
Long time.
If you want to join either of them, there's some stuff on the bottom of the front page for joining the comic book page Slack community, and it also has some information in there for how to get into the forum and such. If you sign up for the forum, send me an email with your username so I can manually approve it. I do get a notification of, hey, somebody signed up, but we've had some spam there in the past. I just don't want to deal with it. If you can't be bothered to say, hey, I've signed up, approve me, and, you know, hey, I'm listening, and convince me you're an actual legit listener who's interested in comics, I'll approve, no problem. But, you know, it's not just going to happen automatically.
Cool. Yeah, the other thing that's really cool about your podcast, John, and your site, you really are one of the few podcasters. You do this all for free. You don't get any compensation for any of this stuff. And even your Slack channel, it's free to anyone who wants to come in. So, come on, as long as you're not cursing at us and, you know, being a complete, you know, rude person, everyone's welcome.
Well, and there is a page on the code of conduct and the ground rules and stuff, because it's, I mean, you got to treat everyone with respect. You don't want to go spoil the stories and stuff like that. It's nothing particularly crazy. We just want to have a nice, civil, safe place to have some fun conversations.
Yeah. No politics, all comics.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't be a jerk is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And specifically, don't annoy me, because I'm the one who can boot you out. I don't want to do that. That's no fun. But, I mean, we're here to talk comics and stuff. All right. Yeah. Let's see what the listeners had to say. Now, Nick's picks. He enjoys sending in clips for the preview spotlight episodes and, of course, listening to most shows on the channel.
Cool.
Awesome. Drew, preview spotlight, and man, he and his brother, when they do the clips and stuff, are often the first clips I'm getting every month, which I really appreciate. So thank you, guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Drew and Kyle over at Comics for Fun and Profit. Check them out. He's on the forum. I think he's usually posting what he gets every week and such, and occasionally on Slack.
Oh, yeah. Drew will post on Slack, which is kind of nice.
X-Men Patrick, less than usual, but weekly as to, I guess, how often he's doing it.
Yeah, he gets busy with work a lot and kids.
I can understand that. Dr. Moe, primarily Slack and occasionally on the forum, so that's cool. Vermont Omnibro, yes, and he definitely does participate. Well, I'm trying to think how often I'm getting previews clips for him, and I'm sure he'd have some good suggestions on the collected editions.
Yeah, give us some clips, man, because I know you do pre-ordering from Eric, because you have some good picks. You buy a lot of stuff.
Well, and also if something comes back into print that he is aware how great it is and stuff, point it out.
Yeah, I agree.
Comic Freak participates on Slack. Chris Myers on the Slack channel. He's part of the book club. Always intend to submit preview spotlight, but doesn't always happen. I suspect that not being current on comics has an effect on that. Gonna try harder this year.
You know what's cool about Chris is he doesn't buy any physical material. He reads only on digital, and he still sends in preview spotlight clips, which I think is the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Does some great stuff. And
I respect that.
And I totally get wanting to do it every month and it not always happening.
Yeah.
That's that. Do it as often as you can. Don't feel obligated. Don't feel guilt-ridden. Oh, I didn't do it this month. I mean, I love it when I get it from everybody. Brawlinator's really good about sending stuff in. There have been a couple of times I've gotten a thing from him. Yep, I don't have time this month. I'm sorry. Catch you next month. And I'm like, hey, thanks for letting me know. You know, sometimes life just gets you busy.
It happens.
Sam, so Foot71, Slack, Book Club, guest host. Yep, he's on a regular basis doing the back issue spotlights, which I appreciate.
Yes, he is.
Viking Joker, Slack, preview spotlight, see below, rarely post to the website. Okay.
I'm the same. Yeah, that's my other burner account, so yeah, I'm the same.
Well, and again, I don't expect a ton of traffic on the forum, but that's a good thing that if you want to put up like a, suppose you've got a reading list of here's everything that's involved in, you know, like the Sinestro Corps War that builds up to Blackest Night and all the crossovers and stuff. That kind of like a reading checklist would be awesome to go put over on the forum.
Where someone can pull it up and see it.
And you could also post a link to it on the Slack channel.
Boom. Click here. Boom. You got the info. Forever.
But that way, there's a permanent place for it on the web.
I like that.
So there's a lot that can be done. But I totally get the usefulness of Slack. And I knew once we set up Slack, or Eric set it up ages ago, the traffic was going to move there. That was a given. And I think it's good for that.
Yeah.
And GLZach, mostly on Slack.
Yep. And I do see him posting there.
Yeah.
All right. That takes us to the next podcast section. What would encourage you to participate in the comic book page community more? I don't know if I would contribute anything more unless we went back to the weekly spotlight, which I'm praying, please don't do that to me.
Yeah, I get that.
It was a big commitment when we were recording every week, and I really want to say thank you to Sam at this part, because Sam, you doing the recordings with John every other week has really taken a little bit of the burden off me. I'm sorry for you, John, because you still have to do the weekly schedule, but it's easier for you to manage it versus it has to be done at this time, you know, now.
Well, and I'm still doing stuff every week, both the back issue spotlights, the monthly comic spotlights, the other episodes I do with my sister and whatnot. But with the back issue spotlight, and I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again, I can get a little ahead. So that means I can kind of, you know, focus on it for a little bit, you know, and not have to deal with it for a week or two versus the timeliness of the weekly comic spotlight.
Yeah.
Every week I had to, you know, I got to get this recorded. I got to get this up. I got to get this edited and stuff. And that was a bit of a grind.
Yeah. And especially come vacation time for us, it was pretty horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't miss that. All right. You want me to just jump into the listeners, or did you want to?
I actually had an answer.
Oh, go ahead. I'm like, can you participate more? I don't know.
Oh, I definitely could. I'm not as active on Slack as maybe as I could be and such, but it really comes down to I would need more time and kind of less life in quotes, because life kind of got a little involved this past year and stuff, and I got some other things going on that's taken up a little time and such. But, you know, I love doing this, and certainly getting more participation, more feedback from the community and stuff keeps me going on this and makes it easier for me to allocate the time and spend the time on it.
Very cool. Well, thank you for all you do. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate everything you, Sam, and all the others do too. It's a lot easier having input than just me, you know, sitting at a microphone. That I tried that once. Didn't work.
Yeah, that would get old fast, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to our listeners. We had a few people have some picks here. So Nick's picks, time to participate in the Slack channel. And I see that, because every now and then, I think Nick would post something on the Slack every now and then, but it's very rare, but he's probably just very busy. And so, but I do appreciate the previous clips from you. Drew, more time. Time is the issue.
Yeah.
X-Men Patrick, polls. More interested in people posting. Was it?
More interesting people posting, maybe?
More interesting people. It says more interested people post. Yeah. Maybe he wants. I don't know if it's.
Spell check is what he's saying. No, I'm kidding.
Yes. So more people need to post and better make it more interesting. But he wants polls, too. So I think Viking Joker put some polls in Slack before.
For the polls, what exactly is. I want clarification on that. I want to understand that better.
Like, who's your favorite team or what's your favorite this or that? I don't know. Let us know on Slack, X-Men Patrick, because I know you're on there. What kind of polls you'd like to see?
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I was just on the Marvel site where it's, who's your favorite X-Men? And they had six choices, and I'm like, well, my favorite X-Men aren't really among these six, but okay. I don't know that I'm going to be generating polls for that kind of a thing or whatever myself, but if people want to do it, certainly that's an option, I guess. I want to understand it one more is all I'm saying.
Viking Joker, it's up to you because I've seen you do a poll before. So start making polls for X-Men Patrick. All right. Dr. Mo, not sure. Although Dr. Mo is very active, so thanks for all you do, Dr. Mo. With the clips, with the Slack channel, you're very engaged. Okay, Vermont Omnibro, free books. Just kidding. He literally wrote free books.
Yeah.
He said, love this group. Just the best people around. Thank you. And honestly, Travis, I really like you too, man.
We've got a really good community and stuff. I mean, there's a core group that's very active and stuff. There are a lot of other people that chime in when they've got stuff to say and whatnot, which is great. And again, very friendly place to, you know, have some fun comic book discussions.
Yeah, just to tell you about the book club and how Travis is a very open guy. We're even friends on Facebook now, but he's like an ultra marathon runner. He's a personal trainer. He's a fitness dude. And yet he's like the comic book dude at the same time. So, I mean, he's just a really nice guy, and he's always positive, always just smiling and happy. I really like him.
That's cool.
Yeah, so good dude. I like you. All right, on to the next section with you, John.
Yeah, how often do you send in preview spotlight clips? Now, I've been doing it each and every month. I'm tempted to say whether I want to or not, because a couple of times it's a little hard to find some picks or whatever, but yeah, it's usually at least a day of my time a month to put that together, sometimes a bit more depending.
Yeah. Well, I try to send in preview spotlight clips every single month. I feel like I almost have to because I'm record with you. I feel like it would be a disservice if I didn't. I know this is a weird thing, but I feel like I'd be setting a bad example if I didn't do it myself.
I don't want you to feel obligated, but I appreciate that you do, and I appreciate that you do send in the clips. Because I agree, it would send if he's not doing it, why should I kind of message? So yeah.
Yeah, if I'm on the Slack telling people, hey, send in your clips and I don't do it, I'm like, I feel like I'm a hypocrite at that point. But no, I do it. I think it's fun. One thing that's kind of interesting, I never told you this, John. I always I kind of grumble, and I don't really grumble. I'm like, I gotta do a recording tonight, you know, because my wife's out there watching TV. Mm-hmm. But she's like, you always do that. You grumble about it, and then you come back and you're smiling and you had a good time. And I'm like, I always have a good time. It's just the thought of, I got to do this. But kind of like with the previous spotlights, I'm like, I got to do this. But I always enjoy doing my recordings when I finally get to it.
Well, and the fun thing is when you find out later, this got me to go read something.
Yeah,
you know,
it works.
Somebody found something they really enjoyed because you sent in a clip.
I have added things to my pull list specifically because of that preview spotlight that you put together.
Yeah,
so
same here.
Very, very cool.
Okay, let's go through the listener picks. Nick's picks does it typically every month. That is true. Drew, almost monthly. That's absolutely true. Again, he's usually really good about getting them in early. There's some months, he and Kyle get busy and they can't do it, but that's fine. They do it very often, which I really appreciate. So,
yep.
Thanks, guys. X-Men Patrick tries for every month. Yep, definitely. Awesome. Dr. Mo, most months.
Yep.
Vermont Omnibro, sorry. There's always next month. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, and again, you don't feel like you've got to do it every month. But, I mean, try to send one in once in a while.
Yeah, especially if there's an omnibus that's being reprinted that you know was really hot or there's a reason why we should get it. Let us know if something really catches your radar. Like, monsters would have caught your radar. Let us know about it.
Yeah. Comic Freak, he sent in one clip. Great start. Now, just if you want to get a chance, do a second. You know, again, as often as you can, don't feel like you've got to do it every month.
Definitely.
If all the listeners were to send in one clip a year, evenly spread across the year, we'd have a ton of clips every month.
So many.
Chris Myers, a few times a year, hope to do better this year. Awesome. Thank you. Viking Joker, want to send in monthly, however, life. Yeah, I get that. I started 2021 strong, but have been absent for the last several months. Would like to reverse that trend in 2022. Well, I hope life is going better and that you have that chance, definitely.
Me too.
GeoZack, done it a couple of times, don't read enough comics, in his opinion, to warrant sending in clips. Fair enough, because he was one that gets, what, one or two a month, I think he said?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, one or two a week, I think it was.
And that's fine. I mean, don't feel obligated to do it every month, but if there's a new title that catches your interest, or a new arc, or something like that, even if you're not going to buy it, but you think other people would enjoy it, send a clip in. So yeah, I do really appreciate everyone sending in the clips. I really appreciate when they post on the forum ahead of time if here's what I'm going to send in, because that way I kind of know what to expect. And I've had one time where I had most of the episode ready to go, like the Thursday or Friday before the deadline. I've had other times that Thursday or Friday, definitely the Friday sometimes before the deadline, I'm wondering if I'm going to have an episode. You know, it's just because, again, people get busy, they send it in the last minute. That happens, you know.
Then you get a flood on that Saturday. You're like, oh, no.
I do. I go to sleep. Well, I don't know how much I'm going to do. And I come in and I've got, like, you know, 2 hours to edit of stuff. And it's fun, but it's time consuming because some people, you know, some people's are easier to hear than others because of the recording conditions and whatnot. We'll talk a little more on that after this next question, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And that brings me to the listeners. Okay, Drew.
Well, hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Did we do?
Oh, I skipped. I checked the box and I didn't even read it. Okay, sorry. All right, that's I started checking ahead.
Don't do that.
Okay, you can edit that out or leave it in for comedic relief.
No, we'll leave it in for comedic relief.
All right. Okay, now the next section of the podcast. What would encourage you to send in clips to previous Spotlight episodes more often? And this one, I actually did have an answer. Let there be a pandemic where I'm not going out to movies.
Yeah. No commute to work, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't travel as much as I used to. I still travel, but not like I used to. And so, yeah, that makes me sending clips a little bit easier. It makes it more like something just my every single month I have scheduled to do it. So, boom, there I go.
Go ahead and jump to the listener picks, and then I'll give my answer.
Okay, listener picks. All right, first up we have Drew. He said, when I do miss, it's usually a timing thing, and I can understand that. Late catalog, yes. I get busy or early-ish deadline, nothing you can do. And that's true, and I think you're good about pushing the deadline sometimes when the catalogs come out late, which happens a lot with 3 distributors now.
Yeah, and I'll address that when I give my answer.
Okay. Dr. Mo, I should probably spread out when my clips are recorded. Instead, life gets in the way, and most times they are set close to the deadline. That makes sense. Yeah, deadlines and life happens.
Better close to the deadline than not at all, but yeah.
Yeah. Vermont Omnibro, if I could give out how to do it properly. If I could figure out how to do it properly. Sorry, my eyes are not working. Okay, Vermont Omnibro, you are going to be able to do it properly. Grab your iPhone or your Android phone. There's a little record on there. Record it. Email it to me. I'll give you my email address. I'll send it to John. Boom. Done. Or send it in the Slack, because you can do an attachment in the Slack. Send it in there if you want to. But if you just do it with your phone, and then later on, if you want to, you can download an app. I use Audacity. It's A-U-D-A, and then like a city, Audacity. And if you have a headset, you just record yourself talking, save the clip, and you can email it to me or send it in the Slack or go to the forum, whatever's easiest for you. I got your back.
Great answer.
All right, Comic Freak, if there's something I'm excited about. All right, so if he's excited, he's going to send in a clip. I'm going to hold you to that, Comic Freak. There's got to be something that excites you this year.
But what I'm hearing is if he's not doing it, it's on the publishers.
Yeah, very true.
That's fair.
And Viking Joker, less life. I understand that.
I totally get that, yeah.
Now in reverse, we're going to go back to John.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of put my answer kind of last, because I had read these, and I want to kind of address some of these things.
Okay.
Now, as I'm doing that, James, I just sent you a link in the chat.
Oh, yeah, you did. Okay.
I'll get to that in just a second. First off, scheduling is getting tricky with 4 catalogs now. We've got previews from Diamond, Marvel previews from Penguin Random House, DC Connect from Lunar, and Lunar started up their next phase catalog. Now, 3 different distributors, 4 different catalogs on a somewhat different schedule than everything. I'm getting to where, starting now, I'm just going to default to the second Saturday of the month for the deadline.
Ah, okay.
default. Not, it's always going to be the second Saturday. If you need more time, if it doesn't work or whatever, let me know. We can change it. On the front page of the website, I always post, when is that deadline? Here's the link to the thread, that kind of thing. So it's going to start by just being the second Saturday. It had been the second Saturday after the last Wednesday of the previous month, because that's when previews was coming out, but it's just not working. So rather than having to keep change stuff in and then have an episode I've already edited to say, oh, it's going to be on the 4th when it's now the 11th or something, default to the second Saturday, the episodes are going to say, go check the main page of the website. Now, there is going to be one probably exception to this, probably in July. The deadline's probably, all subject to change, probably going to be that Monday morning, July 4th, because I got plans, I think, the following weekend. But if you need more time, ask. There are some times where I'll be as flexible as I can be. July, I may not have that option, just so I can get it edited, get it out on time, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so again, if you've got questions, front page of the website, and ask.
And usually when I get your email, that's when I start harassing people on the Slack channel. Hey, don't forget, send in your clips.
I want input from everybody. Do you read the emails? Should I bother sending them out? That takes some time and logistics for me to do.
Oh.
And if I could cut those couple of steps out, great. But if that's what gets the clips in, I don't want to do that.
Well, you don't have to, because I start sending them when I get the catalogs if I don't get the email from you. So whatever's easiest for you.
I try to send it like the Tuesday or Wednesday as the catalog was coming out, and basically the Tuesday or Wednesday before the clips are due and the Tuesday or Wednesday before that.
Mm.
So what works, what helps? And I noticed nobody mentioned in the what would encourage you to send in more clips if I only had a reminder. So either the reminders are working or they don't, and I can't tell from these answers.
Nobody said if James would bother me on the Slack channel, because I do that incessantly.
Or if James would stop bothering you. So it's inconclusive.
Yes, inconclusive right now.
All right, so I want to go real quickly to the page I sent. Now, I've also put this up as a anchored thread on the forum of behind the scenes of the preview spotlight and how I record clips for it. Mm-hmm. And that's basically going to take you to a webpage that I could probably do a little better with, but I was in a rush because I did this as I was doing the preview spotlight. For preview spotlight 170, the last one we did, so that would be the January 2022 episode, I recorded a video, a screencast, of me recording my clips.
Very cool.
So it's just I go into Audacity, I click record, and I'm just kind of walking you through it. You can actually see me do that and stuff. And I'm sure there's a better tutorial I could do. This was less of a tutorial, more than a watch over my shoulder sort of a thing.
Interesting.
Then what I did is I came back a little later and I said, well, you know, I got to edit these. The editing is not something you guys got to do on your stuff, but I wanted to kind of pull back the curtain and let you know what I do with the clips, how I get rid of some of the silence, how I bump up the volume, how I get rid of some of the ums and ahs.
Very cool.
That kind of stuff.
You know what's funny?
Hmm.
As you were talking about this, I already PM'd Vermont Omnibro. I'm like, use your phone, and I sent a link to this. I PM'd them as you were talking.
I don't have a here's a good way to do it on the phone, because I don't do it that way.
Me neither. I did it on my iPad one time. I don't know, you won't remember this. I was in Jamaica with my wife at a hotel, and I brought my previews because I was like, oh, I got to send in the clips. I felt compelled to do it, and I recorded my clips on an iPad and emailed them to you.
At some point, I may do another video demoing both maybe using the phone and also doing it with – because I tend to do it with a headset microphone.
Yeah.
But I have an actual desk mount microphone and kind of showing the, hey, if you're too far, this is what's going to happen. If you're facing away from the mic or if you get right on top of it, it's going to blow out the stuff, and just kind of explain some of the problems that can easily happen.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple where – some of the clips are great. Other times, it's like, I think the person's in a house where maybe somebody's just fallen asleep and they don't want to wake them up. So they kind of start whispering or whatever, but loudly, and the audio just totally changes, and sometimes I can't make out all the all the words, so I got to bump up the volume. Again, the main thing, record the clip. Usually a good idea to play it back to make sure it worked okay. Don't feel obligated to edit, but that'll give you a little sense of how I edit. And then there's another video at the bottom. After I've gone through the editing process for each and every person's batch of clips, this is how I put the actual episode together. Now, at this point, I may have 50 or 60 clips, 50 or 60 little divider bumpers. the intro, the exit, a few things like that. So I'll have, you know, 125 clips to go assemble together. This is how I do it in Audacity, and it kind of explains the rationale for the naming convention.
Makes sense.
So
very cool.
I figured it would be good to kind of give some visibility there, so you guys can kind of see what's going on and stuff like that. If you've got any questions on how to record, we can help you do it. If you want to up your game by figuring out how to edit, add some background stuff, and like Brawlinator often does, we can show you some of that too.
Yeah, Brawlinator did some cool stuff with some clips before, like Star Wars, and he had the sound of it in the background, you know, the ships and the lightsabers and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I need to figure that out because I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, he's totally got the best game and stuff on some of that for clips and production value and stuff.
Me, you just get me yapping with my cat next to me who doesn't make any noise.
Well, and for me, sometimes I've got a much better sense of what I'm going to say than others. And there are often times where I've got, like, the PDFs, and I think in the recording one I show the links I use to go get the information, because when I recorded the clips this time, I didn't have the Marvel or DC catalogs.
Ah, very cool.
So I had gone to the web, I'd gotten from Lunar the DC Connect, I'd gotten from Penguin Random House the Marvel previews. I had Adobe Acrobat up with the PDFs in one window. I had a text file with some notes, and it was just, okay, I'm going to do a clip on this, so this is what I'm going to name the clip as. Let me go ramble for a few minutes, record, edit, done, boom.
No catalog, no excuse.
Exactly.
I like that. Very
well,
cool.
Again, I was just getting a little frustrated of, well, I guess I got to push it back. I got to change this. And yeah. So we can help you out. If you're interested in sending in clips, let us know what's slowing you down and if we can remove those obstacles.
Very cool.
Okay, the next question is, has the Comic Book Page podcast changed what comics you read? If so, which comics and why? And that's not limited to just the preview spotlight. It could be the back issue spotlight. It could be the monthly comic spotlight. It could be anything. Now, for me, I mean, I've sampled a number of comics I wouldn't have otherwise read. I've run a ton of comics I wouldn't have otherwise reread for the back issue spotlight and stuff. So it's absolutely changing, you know, on a continual basis, the comics I read.
Yeah, for me, it's changing everything I read too. Just to give like specific examples, and I almost everyone who's sent in a clip has affected me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But just for example, Brawlinator, I think last year he called out this one book. I think it was Tarna or something like that, some weird name. But it was like the female character who's riding the pterodactyl in the heavy metal movie. They came out with a one-shot from 2080. I wouldn't have seen that, or Rebellion, or whatever. He mentioned it. I bought it. He also mentioned it was either the Conan or the Our Heroes at War, a Tomorrow's publication, which I just totally skipped Tomorrow's at that point, and I went back and I picked it up. So usually the clips, when you guys find something, I miss stuff, and I'm like, oh, I'll check that out, or, oh, I would have liked that. I can't believe I missed it. Wow. And so it does help. And so when I'm doing my picks, I usually have the catalog going at the same time. If it's stuff that I already know I don't like, I'll skip that little preview clip because I'm like, I don't like that comic's not working for me. Something I'm already get it. Sometimes I'll listen to it. Sometimes I don't. But stuff that I'm not getting at all, I always listen to it to hear what it is and why you're picking it. And I pick up some new stuff that way.
It's not uncommon for me to be adding things to my pull list as I'm editing the preview spotlight.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a dangerous podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
Fun and dangerous.
Okay, let's see what the listeners have to say. Now, Nick's picks. I tend to be a little behind in reading sometimes, so the summaries and general impressions of series being covered in the monthly comic spotlight will often steer me towards reading certain issues first or last.
Cool.
Awesome. I think the fact that we're kind of talking about so many different titles and stuff gives us the ability to cover a lot more than we ever could have with the weekly comic spotlight.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know at one point we put the offer out there, haven't really gotten any takes on it, but I'll mention it again. If you guys have questions, you know, over the month of, well, geez, you know, I didn't get this, do you think I should, or what do you think of this title or whatever, you've got until the end of the calendar month. So like January here, you've at least got until the 31st, often a better part of a week or more into the next month to give us those questions and we can address them in the episodes.
Yeah, very true.
You know, we don't want to get all spoilery or whatever, but if it's a, well, what did you think of the ending of this or whatever, I mean, that's fair game. So definitely help you steer your reading habits by answering questions, if that would help.
That would be fun.
All right. Drew, because those episodes aren't long enough as they are. Drew, yep, it got me to read many comics I may not have otherwise tried, and many of them stuck to my reading list and are now favorites. Tom Zoller's Long Distance, Astro City, Resident Alien, many more.
Very cool.
That's awesome. I'm glad he's enjoying this. Dr. Mo, since the shift to back issue spotlights, I've been consuming more older material. For example, the Shazam coverage caused me to purchase issues of Jerry Ordway's Power of Shazam series that he was missing.
Very
so
cool.
Not even the specific Shazam volumes and stories we were covering, but it got him re-excited about the character.
Very cool.
That's
I like
great.
That.
Yeah. Vermont Omnibro, yes, always looking for suggestions.
Yeah, since he's not current, so he'll ask questions to me, sometimes PM me on the Slack. Hey, is this good? What would you recommend? I even give him some horror titles from DC recently.
Well, and again, back issue spotlights, we've done some on some very recently completed stories. So if there's something that, again, you think is worth a deeper dive, and it's fairly new, that's game two.
Yeah, Nice House on a Lake.
Oh, maybe not that one. All right, Comics Freak, I think so, but I don't know what specifically. That's fair. That's fair. Chris Myers. Wow, this is a fairly lengthy list.
Wow.
Rivers of London, Fantastic Four by Dan Slott, Immortal Hulk, Orville, Maestro War and Pax, Crisis on Infinite Earths, never read it in 1986, Icon and Rocket, AWA Books. The simple reason I picked these up was that you made them sound interesting.
Very cool, man. That makes me happy when I see that.
That's the kind of feedback that keeps the podcast going.
That is cool.
You know, and don't feel obligated to wait until next year to be giving us this feedback. Tell us, you know, hey, we like these things. You know, it keeps happening.
Yeah.
Great, great answer. Flood71, Sam, I often take suggestions from the episodes of the Slack channel, and even if not directly, it'll often remind me of something else I end up reading that.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Slack conversation, oh, somebody mentioned this, and you know what? That got me to think about this other thing by that creator or this character. Totally get that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I cannot tell you how many times I procrastinate editing further on an episode to either go check Wikipedia to make sure somebody got something correct, or wait, what about this character? What else were they in it? Oh, you know, that'd make a good back issue spotlight, or I should make note of this. So, yeah, I totally get the stream of consciousness kind of thing. All right, Viking Joker, having a community to talk about books with keeps me engaged in the hobby. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with that. It makes it really cool. I feel like I don't have to go hang out at the comic shop and catch Corona because I can hang out with you guys on the Slack channel or on Zoom.
Well, it gives more value to the reading experience if you can also use it as fodder for conversation.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. I mean, I feel like I really know all of you guys because we've been interacting for years now. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, and again, that's why I, you know, when I need to, I work hard on keeping the community a nice, friendly, civil place. And normally, that doesn't take any work at all. But there are a couple of times where it's like, you know, okay, somebody's got to throttle it back a little bit. But I want this to be somewhere where people enjoy talking about the comics they love.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, GL Zach, I will hear suggestions on the preview spotlight or on the Slack channel that'll pique my interest.
That's
awesome.
Good. That's really cool.
That's well, great.
This all makes me happy. All right, that brings us to almost the last section before we get to just basically other. Okay, what suggestions do you have for the Comic Book Page podcast? And it's weird since I'm a co-host on this, but I thought a suggestion would be maybe before, since we know what we're recording in advance, maybe we should post a message on the Slack channel and just say, hey, we're going to be recording on Stray Dogs. I know that's one of them when we have the date and we know we're recording that one. Or we're going to be recording on Fraction and Aha's Hawkeye. Hey, if you please send us a question or two, whether it's about the TV show or about the comic, you know, anything you have to almost solicit the feedback. Because I think sometimes people wait and then it just happens. And then they're like, they listen to it, and then life goes on, and they never post any feedback. That maybe that's a way we could get people more engaged about each episode.
Interesting. I can definitely see that.
So it'd be a little bit of work, though, and we'd have to almost remind ourselves to do it. But I think it'd be kind of cool, because then you'd actually get people actively maybe going out and preparing, reading the stuff before the episode came out, and coming up with a question or two.
Yeah, I think there's some logistical challenges we'd have to work through, but I like the idea. Because there's some where it's like we know when we're going to schedule it, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes it changes or what have you. But certainly we know what we're going to be doing for the next couple of episodes. I mean, like at this point, as we're recording this, the next recording I'm going to do with Sam is going to be on the first part of the Clone Saga, so Amazing Spider-Man 144 to 147. Then you and I, the next week, record on the Monthly Comic Spotlight for January.
Yep.
Then, and I haven't locked down the schedule on this, there's another episode I'm going to do on a manga book, but I'll leave that to be more specific once I get that nailed down. But with Sam, I'm going to do the next part of the Clone Saga, so Amazing Spider-Man 148 to 151. Then you and I are going to do Stray Dogs, that miniseries.
Yep.
Sam and I are going to do JLA Tower of Babel, which is JLA 43 to 46. You and I are going to do the February Monthly Comic Spotlight. I think that's going to be recorded possibly as early as March 1st. Then beyond that, still to be determined. So we do know often, you know, the next, you know, month or two's worth of books sometimes.
Yeah, I figure if we give people like maybe a week's heads up, hey, we're going to be recording this or like a couple weeks. If you have a question, just let us know. It's just something like that. Or if you want to read up. So when the episode hits or whatever, I just thought maybe that might make it more interactive. But I don't want to make it difficult because I don't want to make this a chore, you know?
Yeah, I'm game for doing something on this, and maybe it's just we talk about it in the Monthly Comic Spotlight or something of what's coming up.
Yeah, that might be cool. Just like a little blurb at the end, you can say, hey, by the way, we got this one coming up next week, and in 2 weeks we have this. Blop, blop.
Because I definitely would like to get, you know, more. And if people have questions, well, you know, what about this part of Stray Dogs, or what do you think about this of the, you know, the Clone Saga or whatever? It'd be fun to be able to put those into the episodes.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
So, yeah, let's think about adding that as a conversation point at the end of the Monthly Comic Spotlight. And if other people have other suggestions on how we should communicate this stuff out, let's talk more about that. Great idea.
Yeah. So, that's the only thing I could think of. How about you, John?
For me, there are two things I'm thinking about kind of shifting in terms of the podcast a little. Some of it I've already started to do of breaking television seasons into smaller chunks.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
We did the first arc of the Doctor Who season because the Flux was kind of its own thing, and the Armageddon arc and Flash versus waiting for the whole season and trying to remember, where did the season start? So doing smaller episode chunks there.
Okay.
And then probably more movie episodes because those are a little more bang for the buck and time investment in terms of I can watch 2 hours and record versus I can watch 20 hours and record.
Yeah, TV is a lot more time intensive.
And we did a ton of TV episodes. At the end, I've got some stats on how the episodes this year broke down. But there were, I think, 33 TV episodes compared to like 5 movie episodes.
Yeah, see, you might want to flip that a little bit, make it easier on yourself.
Yeah, well, and some of it was just what was being released.
Yeah, and I think when you did Longmire, it was just like Longmire versus like Longmire season 1 or season 2. I can't remember, but I think it was the whole thing.
There have been a couple, I think it might have been Justified you're thinking about, maybe, I don't remember. There have been a few where we're doing more of a retrospective on the whole series.
Yeah.
And others where, you know, we're doing it as we're watching it kind of a thing.
Yeah, I can't remember. I get things confused in my head. But yeah, that would be easier for you if you could just focus on maybe half of a season or 5 episodes versus 30 episodes. Something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and part of it is I'm starting to stockpile the shows before watching them. And, you know, doing like the first half of the Discovery season, you know, lets us kind of get that. Okay, now I can move on. And when the other half goes, I can watch that or something. So yeah. We're still working through it and stuff. But I think that makes the load a little bit easier versus, okay, we've got to watch for, you know, 2 weeks of stuff, and then, okay, we can record.
Cool.
So we'll see what happens on that.
Yeah. All right.
Now, as you read through the listener picks, I want you to pause after each one. So
okay.
I got some comments on a few of these.
Okay. First up is Drew. Record/publish the book club as episodes. More industry episodes, i.e. distributors, Substack publishers, retailers, news.
All right. He's got two different things there. Let's take them as they came.
I can tell you about the book club.
Okay. What do you have to say on that?
It's possible, but sometimes it's not all ages because every now and then curse words have been dropped in the past. That will not happen if you're there. But I know that Brawlinator, he has Zoom, and he always has them recorded. So he has the recordings of our book clubs.
All right. From my perspective, first, I'd have to participate in the thing first to see how practical this may or may not be.
Okay.
Okay. The same idea came up with the previous teleconferences back in the day.
Okay.
Where once a month we'd get together, we'd talk about what's in previews, and people like, oh, you should record that and release that. And it's really exciting of flip, what's the next thing you got? Flip. Oh, on this, I'm interested about that. It doesn't always make for a good podcast.
Sometimes with our whole thing, it did do that because we'd be flipping through the pages. We'll be like, there's nothing really to say about this. It works out better with some, but yeah, I know what you mean. Because, yeah.
As much as a podcast can be a conversation between two people, that doesn't mean conversation between two people makes a good podcast.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, Viking Joker will do a screenshot and he'll blow it up on the Zoom meeting. And like, Brawlinator will be like, look at the lines here on this work. Look at this. This is so cool. You can tell it was hand-drawn, and people listening to that would be like, what? I don't see anything.
Well, I'm sure somebody's listening, oh, but you guys do that on the back issue spotlights or whatever. And I'm like, yeah. Well, actually, we don't. We're doing this strictly over audio. James at the moment cannot see me. I cannot see him. We cannot see each other's notes or comics or anything of the sort.
Very true.
Now, we can reference on page blah, blah, look at this or something. And I'm not saying that the book club episodes would never get released or whatever. I just don't know logistically what it would take to make that happen and if that makes sense to have happen.
Yeah. I always joked around and I said Brawlinator's holding the copies as blackmail against us now. I'm just kidding. Sorry, Brawlinator. That's a bad joke.
Well, and again, that's the kind of conversation that, you know, if there's profanity or whatnot, that's something I don't put in my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So... And we've had some not all ages ones, so, I mean, Why the Last Man is definitely a not all ages book, I would say.
Well, there are some books that are definitely more not all ages than others, and there's some conversations about certain books, regardless of them, that are more not all ages than others and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just having that many people involved, you can wind up with a lot more talk over. I don't know, and like I said, first step is I'd have to participate in one of these to see if it's even viable or not.
Now, what do you think of his industry idea? Because I like the industry stuff.
I had a couple of questions on that. I wasn't entirely clear what Drew meant by more industry episodes.
I'm thinking he's meaning like you and Eric and Sam or I or whoever talking about the new monopolies, the three monopolies, and stuff like that, behind the scenes stuff, not really the books.
And we've certainly talked about that, and just it haven't gotten another one of those scheduled. So that, I think, is likely to happen. But when you break down the stuff he'd listed, okay, news. I'm not scavenging the internet for the latest news in the comics world. I got other things going on, and I'm recording episodes a bit in advance, so even if I did, by the time I got the stuff out, the news would be stale.
Yeah.
So I question how that would work. And then distributors, publishers, retailers, well, what's specifically about them? Current happenings? Well, that falls under news. Interviews, well, I'm not really doing that, but I mean, I'm certainly, you know, game for you know, publisher spotlight, their spotlights, retailer spotlights, and stuff like that. I could be interested in doing distributor spotlights, too. But, again, that's the kind of thing, and I'll talk a little more about interviews after we talk about X-Men Patrick's answer.
Okay.
There's logistical challenges and stuff like that. I guess I'm not clear on some of this, what Drew would be expecting out of this. And then the final thing on Substack, really for me, it's so much of a non-entity. I'm not doing anything with Substack. I'm not really jazzed about it or anything, so I don't really have anything to say on it. And what would be in these episodes about like the publishers or whatnot that we wouldn't be, you know, covering in the monthly comic spotlight or something?
Yeah, I haven't subscribed to any Substack, so I would be clueless in that arena.
So I'm not saying it's a bad suggestion or whatever, but both the two suggestions are ones that I don't see as immediately actionable at the moment. And Drew, if you could give a better explanation of what you're thinking and why and stuff, you may have a really great idea here that I'm just not seeing at the moment.
Cool.
So please elaborate on that, either on Slack or something like that. I'd love to hear more.
Now, X-Men Patrick, have you wanted to interview new creators or get PDFs of new books for indie creators? Have you wanted to?
All right, this goes to the whole interview thing I almost touched on before.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I got burnt out on doing interviews early on. And if you go back into the archives, there was a point where there was like three or four interviews connected to the Preview Spotlight stuff a month. I think I've also got maybe a dozen interviews with various people over from Radical Comics and stuff. Did interviews at Comic-Con and things like that. And recording these things can be a bit of a challenge. Editing these things, to say it can be a bear is an understatement. And I have had a few things I've recorded. I had one conversation I recorded with a bunch of other podcasters at, I think the first year I went to C2E2. And it just got to the point where it's like, I can't release this.
Wow.
By the time I edit the profanity out and stuff, it was a good conversation. It was a lot of fun. I think those were great podcasters. It's not right for my show.
Oh, that makes sense. And to tell you the truth, this is just a me thing. There's a lot of interviews, people who do interviews, and interviews are not something, this is just me, that I enjoy. And even with creators I like. Like, one time I heard Jason Aaron doing an interview, and I listened to a little bit, and then they just start talking about stuff that I feel like I don't care about, and I just delete it. I don't know why I don't like interviews, but that's just me personally. Yet, I'm able to BS with anyone, so I can talk to anyone. I can interview people all day, come up with things to say, but I don't know. I don't like listening to them myself, which is weird.
I don't like editing them, because you figure it takes like 3 to 4 times the length of the episode for the editing.
Yeah.
And that's if I was in on the recording and kind of know where the conversation's going. And if not, it takes longer because I don't know the flow of the conversation. And I don't want to cut something out at the beginning if it's something that keeps getting referenced well, like we talked about earlier. If it's gone, you didn't, it's confusing, stuff like that. And I'll be honest, and I got to apologize to Jason from Hawaii flat out here. I've got over 5.5 hours of interviews from him, 3 different interviews I've been sitting on unedited for far too long. I don't know when or if I'll get to them. The shortest one is about 1 hour and 8 minutes. So that's the most likely one to get done. Another one is almost 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Ooh.
With a fair amount of profanity. And to Jason's credit, he did give me the time codes for that. But it's not like I can just kind of bleep some of that out. And again, that's not the kind of content I tend to release. And that would be over and above all the other episodes I'm doing and such. So am I looking to go interview new creators and stuff? That's really not my bag. I'm not that social of a person in general. Am I looking to get new PDFs of books? Kind of. I mean, I'm on a lot of press lists, so that's nice. But I'm not doing the podcast to get free stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's not something I'm pre-ordering, is it something I'm really that interested in reading to begin with? Now, all of that having been said, I'd love to get on every publisher's press list to get the PDF so we could do more reviews, back issue spotlights, that kind of a thing. There have been a couple of episodes that only happened because I was able to provide a co-host, here's a reading copy. So yeah, I'd like to get on press lists and get the PDFs and stuff. I don't necessarily want to go interview everybody and their dog because it's just not my thing. There are 2 exceptions, particularly this year, that I would say, absolutely, I will give you guys, as each of you, as much airtime as you want. I would love to talk to you. The obvious would be George Perez.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down, I have met him. He is the world's nicest guy, and it is going to be a tragic loss to the comic community when he finally passes and such, and I am in no rush for that to happen, and I hope he enjoys as much time as he can possibly, you know, finagle and such. Now, whether he would want to spend any of that time talking with me on a podcast, I'm sure he's got family and friends he'd rather spend it with, and I totally respect that. But I would love, love to have him on the podcast.
Yeah.
The number 2, for very similar reasons, and this doesn't have the same time limitation, Marv Wolfman.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of that conversation would not only be on Marv's terrific career, but on George's too.
Yeah, because he worked with George for so long.
Yeah, the two are great friends, and I think he could really, I think, sing George's praises the best of anyone out there.
Very cool.
So short answer to X-Men Patrick, now that I've gone on for days and days and days, I have wanted to interview. I got over it. It's not my thing. Logistics are a pain, scheduling it and such. And there's one, I forget what episode it was, the guy who did True Story, Swear to God, was interviewed. I was handed the interview to edit, and there was like a parrot just constantly going off in the background. It was the most distracting thing imaginable. And the person who recorded, oh, that'll get edited out. No, it can't.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, there's I've had a few other things where it's like, wow, I gave this person the chance to promote anything they wanted out of the entire publisher's lineup. You got a new book coming out? Yes.
I'm going to start making parrot sounds in the background now.
This one interview, we gave them the chance. Oh, you've got this new book. You want to tell us about it? Sure. One word answers. It was
sure
frustrating. Yeah.
Oh, not good.
So I'm not going to say I'll never do interviews and such, but that's not where I want to be spending my time by and large right now.
That makes sense.
There are certain cases like the ones I've mentioned and a few others where I would certainly make an exception and say, absolutely, let's do that.
Definitely. Now that brings me on to the next listener, Dr. Mo. Nothing. Glad John adapted a new release schedule which works for him. Wish the distributors would be willing to release sales data. I miss the sales data episodes, and that I don't see coming back anytime soon.
All right, there's two halves to that one, too. We've already talked about the new release schedule. It's way more practical for the Weekly Comic Spotlight format.
Yeah.
It's a fair amount of work still, but not on tight of a deadline and such, and it's way less of a grind, so happy with that. Now, man, the sales data. I miss those episodes, too. They were a lot of fun. But I certainly don't miss all the work that was involved preparing for them.
Yeah.
That was usually a weekend a month to crunch the numbers, prep for the episodes, plus the time to record and edit them and, you know, write the article and all that. And you have no idea how it just honestly got a little under my skin to spend an entire weekend crunching the numbers, doing the analysis, the charting, the writing, getting the article posted. You know, only to have somebody post on the Slack channel, oh, look what's up over at Comic-Con or ICV2. They've got the numbers up. Let's all go over there. And I'm like, did you even look to see if I posted it? You know, so there's a little there. And that you know, whittled away at the enthusiasm for the project a little. But the main killer was Diamond just stopping releasing the data. They did that in April 2020 when the pandemic shut the business down. They did it again after a couple of months where they were doing ranked but unindexed lists. That stopped in November 2020. Then they started doing numbers again with no warning, just boom, here they are. And then that stopped in October 2021 with no signs of coming back. And now there's these large gaps in the data that are problematic for the kind of analysis I was doing. And I'll be honest, when the stuff came back with the index numbers after a year-long gap, I was out of the rhythm of doing it, and I couldn't fall back on a lot of for lack of a better term, the writing crutches I was using, of here's the standard analysis I'm doing and what it means and stuff. The business had changed, and I didn't have the data to kind of get the new bearings.
Yeah.
So I thought about taking the data I've got, because I've got like about 20 years worth of data, and doing some books on the sales trends and stuff like that. I just don't know that I want to sink the time and effort into doing it, which would be very non-trivial, because half the time, you know, people don't care, they dismiss the numbers, or frankly, they it feels like they're attacking me for even trying to crunch the numbers.
No, that makes sense. I would buy the book, though, just so you know, if you do publish it. I think it'd be cool.
I've put together some notes as to, you know, an outline for it and such. It's just a question of do I want to go spend the months and months and months of time it would take to do it properly.
I find stuff like that interesting. I even bought, you know, Brian Hibbs did a couple books, Tilting at Windmills. I bought those. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, I bought them. Cool. They're great books. If you're into comic book punditry and commentary and stuff, absolutely you should go read those.
Yeah, so if you do your book, you have at least one customer, and I won't say that you're wrong and argue with you. Although I do miss you and Sam and Eric. You guys used to get kind of heated and it was hilarious.
It was fun. Very different perspectives.
Yeah.
And there were times some of those were fun discussions.
These are sales. No, they're not.
How guaranteed of a purchase do I have from you?
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed?
Yeah, I would buy it for sure.
Because I'm willing to do the book and have a cover price of $10,000 or something.
Oh! So just saying. All right. Oh, that's what's happening. Okay. No, not happening now.
Not that guaranteed. Got it. That's what I was after. Okay.
All right. No, not $10,000. We'll start a GoFundMe.
Such a discount I have for you.
Yeah. Our Kickstarter. There we go. Kickstarter. All right. Vermont Omnibro came up with something. So I downloaded my episodes, but unfortunately on Apple iTunes, it only goes back a certain amount of episodes. But what happens is you're such a hard worker, John. It puts out so many podcasts that podcasts from 2020 are not available on iTunes. So question, is it possible to put the episodes together like Back Issue Spotlight, TV Spotlight, Movie Spotlight, Monthly Comic Spotlight, etc.?
Okay, so in the chat, I've just sent you another link, James.
Ah.
I have sent this to Travis already.
Oh,
I see
okay.
He's had a chance to kick the tires on it. First off, Travis, excellent idea. Thank you for the suggestion.
Oh.
Based on this, because we've had these answers for his for a little bit, I've added a new webpage where you can subscribe to the various sub-feeds of the podcast.
Very
now,
cool.
On the main page of the Comic Book Page podcast, if you go to the kind of, you've got the header, the menu, the about the comic page, the recent status type stuff, and then the recent episodes. Right below there, there's an RSS feed, subfeeds, iTunes feeds, links. If you click on subfeeds, you'll go to this other page. And this other page is basically a list of all the different subfeeds. I could probably put some better verbiage or whatever around it. You want just the Back Issue Spotlights? You can get the RSS feed or the iTunes feeds, or click to see the archives for this category.
Oh, very cool. I love this.
And I used to have a page that was the Episodes at a Glance, where I just had all the different, you know, icons and stuff up there for the thing. Well, that was great when I had, you know, 30 podcast episodes or 100 or 130. But now that I've got 1,950, maybe, I don't know. I mean, closing in on 2,000 episodes, it just wasn't working. So I had shut that down years ago because it was taking too long to load, etc. But that's where I had some of these, you know, where you could get to the subfeeds and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I need to make this another page. Travis, again, gave me the great suggestion, so he got an advanced preview of it. I've got categories for, obviously, things like the Back Issue Spotlight, the Mayo Report, the Monthly Comic Spotlight, the Preview Spotlight, stuff like that. So the obvious categories, I've added a few things, like the Star Trek Spotlight, and I've also grandfathered in not only the novels, but the episodes. I've got one for the Television Spotlight, the Weekly Comic Spotlight, the Yearly Comic Spotlight, that'll now have, I don't know, 15 new episodes just from this year alone. Maybe not that many. But I've also added Arrowverse and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if there are other suggestions for subfeeds, where it's like, you know, I should group all these together and make those available, give me a suggested name for the subfeed and a list of the episodes.
This is the coolest thing because I never had seen this before. I mean, now it's you created this. This is really cool because there's stuff I'm seeing on here that literally I didn't know you had recorded. Like the super fan spotlight. I'd never seen this stuff, and now I'm going to go and listen to it. Mark, what
do you got? Well, some of these are old episodes that I haven't been doing for like 10 years.
Oh, yeah, but still, that's cool. I never even knew they existed. So that, it's just kind of a neat thing.
Yeah. Well, and there are a couple of almost standalone sequences, like the Time War Spotlight or the Lost Fleet Spotlight, some of the books we've done. I've got stuff for the Doctor Who episodes and things like that. Now, an episode can be in multiple subfeeds. Not all episodes are in one of these subfeeds.
Yep.
And if you have suggestions, don't just say, oh, you should go do all the you know, Marvel books in a certain thing. Don't be vague. I've got not only the show notes that you can get to if you go to the menu and click on the podcast stuff, but I've also got the episode archive. That page lists all 1,900 and some odd episodes. Take that, pare it down to these episodes should be in this subfeed, and it'll take me a little bit of work to make that happen, but I'm certainly game for doing it.
Very cool. I like that. So, nice suggestion, Vermont Omnibro, and he took action on it. So he's already done it and notified you.
Yeah.
Very cool. Excellent
suggestion, because you're right. There's a ton of stuff. It's hard to find. iTunes is only going to go back. I could change how many episodes are in the RSS feed. If it gets too big, it blows out the RSS feeds in many apps and just kind of breaks stuff.
Ah.
So I think it's limited to 100 episodes. That's not even enough to get all the Back Issue Spotlights.
Ah, yeah, that's true. I think I've done 100 of them, probably. Just kidding. No,
close.
I haven't. Yeah, I've done a lot, though.
But if you go to the subfeeds page, you can get the RSS feed, the iTunes feed, and click to see the links and get the full list. It may be that it makes sense for me to do stuff for a time range or Back Issue Spotlights on DC versus Marvel. Or, I don't know. Give me some ideas.
Cool.
And then give me some time to do it, because I'm not going to just drop everything and do it at that instant. But I thought this was a great, great suggestion. So thank you, Travis.
Very cool. Brings us up to our next, I guess, suggestion or comment. Comic Freak. To me, it seems a bit DC Marvel heavy, but that's probably due to the reading habits of the makers.
Okay, first off, DC Marvel heavy? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Apologize for that. I tried in the past to do a little better job, like with the back issue spotlight, of getting some of the other comics and stuff in there. A lot of it is what I'm reading these days. Some of it, though, is the availability of the material.
Yeah.
I would love to do a back issue spotlight or two on Pantheon by Bill Willingham. Only the first half of it's available in trade.
Yeah.
So getting copies for a co-host to read, that's hard.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, Astro City is technically, I mean, you could say DC published it, but it's going to Image. But for the longest time, it wasn't in print. You couldn't get the stuff anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff happens like that, and I think even more so in the indie world. But with the back issue spotlight, yeah, I think I read way more indies than you. I know I read way more indies than you. And I try not to talk the whole time on the indie section, but we'll try to give them a little more recognition, maybe with some back issue spotlights. We'll see.
And I've got a few ideas for some back issue spotlights we can do and stuff. Because
okay.
There's some great stuff from these other publishers, and I'm open to suggestions for other stuff. Again, we've got some great suggestions already, and I want those suggestions to keep coming, but again, you got to be a little realistic about it. So saying something like, oh yeah, Sword by the Luna Brothers, which I would love to do, it was a great series, but that's at least 4 episodes out of, I don't know, what, the 39 back issue spotlights or so we do a year?
Yeah, that'd be quite a bit. So if you wanted Sword by the Luna Brothers, just say, hey, can you do the first 4 issues, maybe?
Or
maybe
the first 6, or whatever is a good chunk.
Yeah, whatever that cutoff is, then that's what we can do. Probably that would work a little bit better.
Because the goal is not to have it be Marvel and DC heavy, but that's definitely what I'm reading these days. And historically, that's what's easier to get a hold of. I mean, again, Sam's got the Marvel and DC Unlimited apps and stuff, so there's a decent odds he can read a lot of this stuff.
Very true.
Not guaranteed. There's some stuff where it's like, yep, couldn't get it, so it didn't make the cut for a back issue spotlight. But there's no equivalent subscription service for all the other publishers, at least not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, there definitely isn't one. Now, Chris Myers did say, keep doing what you were doing. So thank you very much, Chris, and we will.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. The other thing to think about in terms of both back issue spotlight suggestions and being less Marvel TC heavy, if this is something that you know is available on Hoopla, point that out. That may be enough to get us to be able to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And you guys have to give us indie suggestions, because if John and I have cut back, somebody, I think it was Chris Myers, was saying, and I think it was more than just Chris Myers, hey, Stray Dogs is really good. Hey, Stray Dogs mm-hmm. is really good. I didn't read Stray Dogs. You didn't read Stray Dogs. We're going to do a back issue spotlight on Stray Dogs, but you guys have to tell us if there's something that's really good, because not all we don't read everything. And so if it's something that a few of you said, this is terrific, this is at the top of the list, can't guarantee it, but we'll try to get to it if we can.
Well, and keep in mind, some of it's going to be, what are we actually interested in reading? And there's going to be some stuff that is absolutely great, absolutely wrong for me to read.
Yeah, if Drew says Crossed, I read the whole thing, but John is not going to read Crossed.
And even if I did, it's not going to be the kind of episode you're going to want to hear.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that gets us down to our last category, which was Other, and the entirety of it is the single question of additional comments. This is a free-for-all of what's on your mind, what do you want to tell me if there wasn't somewhere else to go put it. So I'm going to let you go ahead and give your answer, because if I have something to say, I'll say it afterwards, yeah.
At this point, I've said everything I need to say. I would just say, I wanted to end it, and I always do this, but I really want you to know I mean it. Thank you very much for putting this podcast together. When I got back into comics, this was one of the first podcasts I started listening to. Drew was your co-host at the time, and it quickly became my favorite podcast, and I've never left it. This is the community that I feel the most comfortable with, I'm active with. I feel like I've made real friends here. I think one day, hopefully, we can make a pilgrimage, all of us, to Cowabunga, meet up there. But, I mean, this has been really cool, and I appreciate your hard work, because you do all this without taking a dime. And there is a donate button on the webpage. I think everyone should do it maybe once a year, donate something to you for your effort, just the cost of hosting all this stuff on the servers. But thank you very much. And I really mean that. I'm not just saying it.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And yeah, I've had the donate thing on the website for most of the lifetime of the website, if not certainly for the podcast, if not the website. And I would say the one time that I got a wave of donations, and it was just really the fact that people were reaching out and being supportive, was when my father died. And that meant a lot to me, so I really do appreciate that.
Very cool.
So, okay, let's see what the listeners had to say. Now, Nick's picks, I wish more publishers would rein in their prices. I don't know or really care if it's supply chain issues or what the problem is, but overpriced first issues, high-priced miniseries, and DC's silly backup stories on twice-monthly series have chased me out of most Big Two and certain indie publishers' material.
I know.
Wow, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, that indie publisher with the number one cost more, Aftershock. They upped it a buck and don't give you any more pages.
Yeah, and the backups at DC aren't working for me. I really don't think they're making comics as a low barrier to entry as they need to for readers.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. There's a reason why kids aren't reading comics today.
Well, and this is the exact kind of thing why I put in additional comments out there. There really wasn't somewhere else to put that, but yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, Drew, with so much divisiveness across the country and the fracturing of family friends, it's nice to have a little comic sanctuary. Thanks for another year of podcasts.
That's awesome.
Well, thanks for being part of the community, Drew, and stuff. Thanks for participating in the preview spotlights and all of that. We have this community because all you guys are part of it. Literally couldn't exist without you guys. So having a nice, fun place to talk about the comics, I value that a lot.
Yeah. And Drew, I still listen to your podcast because I like you. You're one of the first guys I listen to, and thanks for everything you do on the Slack channel and sending in your clips. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Well, and he's probably the most prolific poster on the forum these days, I think, because he's putting up every week what he's gotten. And I'm like, wow, I respect that.
Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, thanks. All right, so X-Men Patrick, maybe for the monthly spotlight, you could have some voicemail calls on the some of the books others are reading. May extend the episode, so maybe DC on one week, Marvel the next, Indies another, and the last one being all the cuts, ads, and outstanding. If people get used to recording themselves, they may send in more clips or be more engaged. It's a very interesting idea. There's a lot to unpack there. It relies on listener engagement, which I would love to get more of. We've offered to take questions via Slack, forum, email, and the monthly comic spotlight, or like the crisis Q&A and stuff. Don't always get the response we'd kind of like. I mean, the whole recommendation roundtable kind of died on the vine because I didn't get a lot of submits. So I question if we'd get the participation we'd like. It'd be a little bit of work on my side, but that could be doable. And when you're saying DC one week, Marvel the next, Indies the next, I mean, we're doing one episode of the monthly comic spotlight a month. And are you suggesting we break it into parts? I mean, the later parts would be kind of dated, so I'm a little confused by that.
Yeah, hey, give us more details on the Slack, because I know you're on the Slack, X-Men Patrick.
And everybody else, chime in. Are there other things where you would want to be sending in recordings about what you're getting, or Astro City, or other things? Is it that you would participate more if there was something you were more interested in participating in, if you know what I mean? So I'd like more input on that. Dr. Mo, thanks John, James, Kay, Sam, and other contributors for hours of entertainment this past year. Happy to do it. And at the end of this, I'll outline how many hours that was.
You're welcome, my friend.
All right, Nicholas J. This year went another direction than I thought it would. During the COVID period, work was slow, so I looked around for something else, sent out some applications, and by summer, I had a new university job in a new city at an almost new particle accelerator. Wow, that's exciting.
Very cool.
Love more information on that. I've read comics that start that way, I'm just saying. Very fun times, but also my time went to other things than comics, so I haven't had much time to read comics or read and listen to stuff about comics. I'm still having my comics shipped to me, and as always, trying to cut back on titles, but always finding something new to try.
Yeah, Nicholas, man, I definitely want to know about your job. That is really cool.
Yeah, curious about the particle accelerator and all that. That sounds exciting. And this year went in another direction than I thought it would. That was pretty true for me too. I'm sure it's been true for a number of people. And I'm looking for some nice boring years coming up. I'm just, in terms of life and things of that sort.
Just normalcy. Just plain, boring, vanilla life.
All my drama needs to be in my comic books and TV shows and movies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris Myers, thanks John and company for all that you do. I really appreciate being part of this community. Thoughts on 2022? I'm looking forward to the Slack channel book club starting again. I'm going to make full use of my Marvel and DC Unlimited subscriptions and dive into their back issue libraries and read some good old superhero comics. Well, Chris, as you do that, if you think of things we should do as back issue spotlights, please let us know.
Yeah, definitely. And Chris, you're always a cool guy to hang out with. Retired police officer. Love and life now in retirement.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Thanks for your service as a police officer.
Yeah, definitely, man.
And Viking Joker, overall, my reading list is down this year. 2020 had, 1,082 items. 2021 had 809 items. Those are primarily floppies, but there are some collected editions in there, too. That's, roughly 80, little under 80% of what he had been reading.
Yeah, you're slacking, Viking Joker. Pick it up. Just kidding.
Hey, if he's reading the right 809 items, more power to him.
Yeah, now I'm curious about how he got the 700-issue backlog.
He only had 800.
I know, what happened there?
That's funny.
If you're reading 100 and you're buying 800, there's a problem.
So I did a little crunching of the numbers of how many episodes came out for 2021.
Cool.
How much time it would take to listen to all of that. There were 120 episodes of the Comic Book Page podcast released during the calendar year of 2021 for a total of 127 hours, 19 minutes, and 8 seconds.
Wow.
That's 5.25 days of content.
That's what happened to my life. I'm just kidding. Or your life.
Yeah. I mean, that's 5.25 days I've spent on the podcast, literally on the podcast, not counting
editing.
The prep work, the editing, yeah.
Good Lord. Wow, that's a lot of time.
39 of those episodes were back issue spotlights for a total of 37 hours, 27 minutes, and 48 seconds. 33 episodes of TV spotlights for a little over 22 hours. 12 episodes of preview spotlights for 26 hours, 38 and a half minutes, we'll say. So way fewer episodes than TV spotlights, but a lot longer duration, too. So great participation on that, guys. So thanks. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Only 12 episodes of the monthly comic spotlight, because there's only 12 months, for 13 hours and almost 55 minutes.
Very cool.
Only 4 episodes of the Mayo Report this year, because there just weren't many numbers coming out, which kind of sucked. 6 hours and 35 minutes, thereabouts. 5 interview episodes, all from Jason from Hawaii, so thank you, Jason, for a little over 5 hours and 20 minutes. 5 movie episodes that lasted a total of a little under 3.5 hours. 3 roundtable discussions for a little under 3 hours total. 2 episodes of the Retailer Spotlight. I think Jason did both of those, too, actually. I'm trying to remember. Maybe I did one with Eric. I forget. Anyways, 2 hours, 37 minutes. 2 of the recommendation roundtables for about an hour and a half total. 1 convention spotlight for about 53 minutes, and 1 collector spotlight for about 43 minutes. So that's kind of how it all broke down. All said and done, as of the end of the year, there were 1,958 episodes on the podcast feed, or in the podcast library, I should say.
Wow.
Because, as it was correctly pointed out by Travis, they're not all on the feed, because it limits. That is 2,112 hours plus of content.
Wow!
That's 88 days worth of content, 24 hours a day.
Wow.
I think if you were to listen to my podcast as a full-time job, you could not do that in a year at 40 hours a week.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
And this is really kind of, I mean, it's not the peak amount of episodes or hours of content I've released, but it's not that far off from it.
Wow.
It peaked, I think, in 2016.
Wow.
But and 2017 and 2018 really aren't that far below it, but an hour or two or something.
You wonder what? Another thing that's cool, people are going to listen to this in 3 or 4 episode chunks or whatever you're going to break it up as, because we've done the yearly comic spotlight. I don't know, for 4 years or however long I've been here, 5 years. I honestly don't remember. But the insane thing is, you know, I remember the last year, it was like a 3-hour and 45-minute marathon. I was like, oh my gosh, that took forever. This year we did a 4-hour recording and we came back and now we're 2.5 hours in. We've done 6.5 hours in this year in Spotlight.
Yeah.
This is crazy, but honestly, it was kind of cool and fun.
A ton of fun. And it'll edit down a little bit, you know, as I remove some of the silence and, you know, some of the ums and ahs. And maybe not too many of the ums and ahs, because this is a significant amount of content to edit.
6.5 hours, leave the ums and ahs in there.
Probably will, but I'll break it into chunks and stuff, and I'll try to clean it up a little.
Yeah.
But ton of fun. Thank you for hanging in for doing this. I know it was a long recording session the first night and fairly long this time, too. If the listeners have any, and you too, if you have any suggestions for changes to the Yearly Comic Spotlight survey, please let us know. I'm thinking the Premier Publisher and other publishers are probably going to get merged into one section. I think there's grounds for maybe condensing the questionnaire a bit, and maybe not all of it gets read off in the next Yearly Comic Spotlight or something. But I do want to thank everyone who provided feedback and sent some stuff in. That really, you know, helps to have that feedback, that participation. And I think we got, what, 10 people this time, which is a pretty good amount.
It makes it more fun, I think, having more people participate.
Absolutely. And a lot of diverse picks and stuff.
And that's something I remember. Your podcast, I felt like I mattered and you weren't just trying to make a buck off me. You know, and if I sent in something, I had just as much validation and just as much voice as anyone else. And that's what makes you different.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool.
If I were trying to make a buck on it, I'm doing it totally wrong.
Yeah, you're failing.
This is a money sink and a time sink, but it's fun to do. And, you know, I enjoy comics. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. So a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to the next one next year.
Yeah. And don't feel, you know, that you can't provide feedback during the course of the year. You absolutely can. We welcome it. We want that. We do this kind of an episode, and we want your feedback so we know what you like about the podcast, how we can improve it, and make it something that you just get more value out of.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to hopefully maybe a few questions for future back issues spotlights.
Future back issue spotlights, how they think we should handle the Astro City episodes that we want to do, any questions either on Crisis on Infinite Earths, so I can finally get around to doing a Q&A on that, and if they have questions on what we're reading every month, we can answer those in the monthly comic spotlight.
I agree. Yeah, let us know.
So tons of ways to participate.
Cool.
Anything else, or you think that'll do it?
6.5 hours, I'm done.
I think we're good. Cool. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the Preview Spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next Preview Spotlight.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.
This is going to get split to a couple of different episodes at this point.
Yeah, this is going to be two or three at this point.
At least.